Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. Well, I was just going to go ahead and preach through the prayer. Have you ever just wanted to do that? Someone handed you a microphone and it just seemed like, well, anyway, you might not have experienced that. But you could have, and you might someday, so get ready. Anyway, before we had these pandemic stay-at-home orders, before we had these orders, Pastor Jess started just 1 week of a series on the Holy Spirit. And we're taking some of these things from Robert Morris's book, The God I Never Knew. It's a very enlightening book. It's wonderful. And what I'd like to do is to point you to the YouVerse app. Now, if you don't know what an app is or you don't know how to download an app, find a five-year-old and they'll help you. But anyway, there is a Bible app where you can have your Bible on your phone called YouVerse, and there is a devotional by Robert Morris with that same title, The God I Never Knew. And there's just a daily devotional that you can read that's along these lines, and it's very good. So Pastor Jess wanted you to know about that. But she started the series, and the first week was called The Holy Spirit Part 1, and she entitled the message, Help! And she helped us to see that the Holy Spirit is our helper, and don't we need help? Let's say hallelujah. Those of you online, lift your hands. Hallelujah. We need help, and we need the divine helper, the Holy Spirit. So she taught us that he is our helper, he teaches us, he guides us, and he also convicts us of sin. Can we all say ouch? Sometimes we don't like that voice, but actually he's sanctifying us, he's cleansing us, he's getting us ready to be that glorious bride that Jesus is going to return for. Amen? So today is the Holy Spirit part 2, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the divine person today. He is a person. He's not a wind. He's not a force, although he can be very forceful. On the day of Pentecost, he came in like a rushing mighty wind, but he is the third person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We actually serve a triune God, and you've heard that us use that term or the term Trinity. We actually serve a God that is expressed in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about God the Holy Spirit. So that's the only time that three equals one, is when you're talking about the Trinity. It doesn't compute in normal math, but they're three and yet they're one. We serve the only one true God expressed in three persons. So your mind can't wrap around that. You just kind of can't get it. And so you just kind of have to be okay with that. And really, if you think about it, our minds don't even wrap around the concept of eternity. I mean, we think in a time continuum. So to think of something going on and on and on, it's almost like, well, won't we get bored with that? No, there's no sense of time. You're in the now, always eternal time, without time. Are you with me? So no watches, isn't that good? And so our minds can't always grasp these eternal, infinite truths, and we have to just receive them by faith. And that's how it is when you talk about the Trinity. There are three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and yet they're one. One in every intention, one in every purpose. And you know, the Bible says that we are made in God's image. In Genesis 1:26, God said, let us. So it's a plural form of God, Elohim. Can you say that with me? Elohim. You kind of have to act like you're clearing your throat. But he said, let us make man in our image. And we are made in the image of God. And we're actually three parts. So it shouldn't be that hard for us to understand. And yet sometimes we need a basic lesson on that also. I've been trying to give that lesson to moms of two-year-olds, you know. That's not the real them. That's that flesh part that you got to deal with. But we're made in the image of God, and we're a three-part person. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, now may the God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you are a spirit. You're going to live eternally in one of two places. That's why we're so tenacious about doing an altar call at this church, because this is decision time. So eternally you will live one of two places because you are a spirit. And you have a soul, that your mind, your will, and your emotions, your soul, and that's that unique part of you that makes you you. And you live in this body, in this earth suit. This gives us permission to still be on the planet. When this stops, we take off. Just like a hand slipping out of a glove, to be absent from the body is to immediately be present with the Lord if Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Are you with me? I always tell the kids in children's church that my glorified body is about, well, I used to say 20 pounds. Now it's more like 40. But anyway, but won't our glorified bodies be beautiful? Aren't you glad as women? Say hallelujah for that glorified body. But so we see at very creation, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God conceived creation, God the Son commanded creation, and God the Holy Spirit constructed it. It said he hovered over the waters. So the Holy Spirit is God as much as Jesus is God, as much as God the Father is God. Are you with me? And yet, many times we don't think of him in that context. We think of him like an it. And sometimes because he's called the Holy Spirit and not Father, that we can relate to that role, or Son, that we can relate to as our older brother, the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says. We maybe don't think of taking on the Holy Spirit as personally as we should. But when we look at some of the roles that he's in, when we look at how his name is actually defined and expressed, then I believe that we can relate to him a little bit more. And Pastor Jess did a good job of doing that a few weeks ago. We see it in the Amplified Bible, some of the names that are at the heart of that word parakletos that Jesus called the Holy Spirit. He said that he would be our helper, our comforter. The Amplified goes on to say he's our counselor, our intercessor, our advocate, our strengthener, our standby, and calls him the Spirit of Truth. Yeah, have you ever been in your kid's face and going, I want the truth? You know, he's that Spirit of Truth. And, you know, my kids used to say, I can't get away with anything. No, we have the Spirit of Truth on the inside. So the Holy Spirit is a divine person. Everybody say person. He is a divine person. And, you know, I love John 16, 13, and 14. When Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, he kept using that personal pronoun, he. He didn't say it. He said he. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Isn't that great? He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So he is a divine person, and he has been sent forth to help us. Aren't you glad? So we need to talk to him. When we look at the role that he's in, or when we look at the names that are referred to in that Greek word parakletos, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, we need to call upon those aspects of his character that can help us in our time of need. In other words, let him be your personal God, your personal Lord and Savior, like you've done with Jesus. He is God. He is Jesus. He's here to glorify Jesus and make him real to you. So what I mean by that is, if you're in a place of deep despair and you've experienced great pain in your life, and many of us have through these last several weeks, call on him as your comforter. Say, Holy Spirit, you're my comforter. You're on the inside of me. Comfort me as only you can. I don't know how to even express this pain that I feel, but you are my comforter. So put your arms around me. Love me. Comfort me. And I'm telling you, there is a comfort of the Holy Spirit that only he can bring, and no one else. So we need to draw on that. If you need strength, Philippians 4:13 says that he'll supply all that, I'm sorry, that You can be strong in him. 19 is my other favorite. But 4:13 says that you can be strong in him and in the power of his might. I remember one time, I don't know why, I must have lost my mind, but I decided I would teach, or they offered me a job teaching at my kids' Christian school. And I'd subbed a little bit. And if you know how to corral kids and manage behavior in a class, which my husband and I have ministered to 300 or more kids at a time, subbing is not that hard. So they asked me if I would teach. And at that time, we needed extra money, so I took the position. But it was by far the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, teaching about 20 little third graders. It was very overwhelming. And I remember so many times during the break or the lunch break, running into the restroom and just sitting there and going, Jesus, you have to be my strength. I thank you I can do all things through you who strengthens me. And I called on the Holy Spirit to strengthen me. Many times we want to yield to our flesh and, oh, I can't do that. Oh, that would be too hard. Oh, that would be too stressful. I've talked to sometimes younger people in job roles and they go, oh, I couldn't do that. That would be too stressful. I'm like, you're supposed to overcome, you know. We're called to be overcomers. And the only way you can overcome is by having something tough in front of you to overcome. Am I preaching real good today, ladies? All those over 50 are going, whoop, whoop. Anyway. But sometimes God calls us to do very difficult things that our flesh recoils from. And we are overwhelmed. But you'll never experience victory on the other side if you don't know the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and cause you to do some supernatural things. Are you with me? So call on him. He's there to strengthen you. He's God, and he's there to strengthen you. He is your strengthener. So don't just rely on your natural abilities. And I'm telling you, the older I get, the more I'm learning and the more I'm drawing on him in an even deeper way because, you know, it can be challenging getting older. You have a body that now has an opinion and things like that. But he will strengthen you and he will help you. Amen. So we need to learn what his titles are, what his characteristics are, and call upon them. When Pastor Jess ministered to us a few weeks ago, she said, taken from John 16, 12 through 13, that he would lead us, he would guide us into all truth. And we need that so much now. Ephesians 1, 16 through 18, I pray this prayer so much now that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened because there's so much deception going on. Don't kid yourself. Not everything you read about or hear about right now is actually the truth. And so we have to go to the Spirit of truth. We have to get before him and we have to say, open my eyes to see what I really need to do in this situation because it's very confusing. And he will show you. Amen. He is all-knowing. He will teach you all things. He's omniscient. That's one of the words for God. He is God. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient, he's all-knowing, and he's omnipresent, he's ever-present. All of that that God is, the Holy Spirit is. And he will convict us of sin. He won't condemn us, but he'll convict us. And Pastor Jess brought this out beautifully a few weeks ago. But I did want to say that many times we think of sin as like an occurrence that may happen, like we say something flaky or we do something wrong, we yield to our flesh, and immediately there's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we ask him to forgive us. We ask Jesus, forgive me. And the Bible says that God is faithful. If you confess your sin, he's faithful, 1 John 1:9, to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So there's isolated sin that can be an event that goes on in our life. But then the Bible talks about iniquity. And that's where sin is done repeatedly until there is a habit of sin in a certain area. There is a lifestyle of sin in a certain area. And I'm telling you, ladies, sometimes there's sins of the heart. There's a root of judgment or bitterness or gossip where we're just quick to malign people's character. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of these things. Because many times it's only he that knows. And many times it's only he that can bring that true deliverance. And in James it talks about, you know, prostrating ourselves before him and allowing him to deliver us from sin. And I've said before, you know, sometimes we just need some on-your-face fellowship. But the Holy Spirit can convict you. He can just open your eyes to see a pattern of sin. Again, and it can be a sin of the heart that you're almost, you've just lived with, and this is just you. But one day in prayer, or at a time when you're least expecting, he can open your eyes to see that, and that's when he's ready to deal with it and actually bring you deliverance from it. So we have to be open to that. I was talking to somebody the other day recently, and I said, I think sometimes the reason we don't hear the Holy Spirit is because sometimes he's talking to us about things that we don't want to hear. Are you with me? Oh, we want to hear things like, oh, you're beautiful, my daughter. I love you. I died for you. And he'll tell you that all the time. He's amazing. And isn't that good to hear? But then sometimes there's that little on the inside. And you want to hear him say something about this over here or study scripture about this over here. And he just gets very silent because he wants to deal with you about something that maybe he's already talked to you about and you didn't want to hear it and you wanted to ignore it and move on. And so if we want to really hear him, hear his voice, which he speaks in line with his word, we've got to tune up and say, whatever you want to speak to me about, Holy Spirit, I am open. Are you with me? And again, he's not there to condemn you, but he will shine his light on an area that is less than lovely that he wants to deal with so that you can get forgiven, you can get deliverance, and you can go from one degree of glory to another and shine Jesus more brightly. Are you with me? Is everybody good? Okay, it's getting kind of quiet in this Pentecostal house. Thank you, sister. I'm going to do it for you. Thank you, sister. But just as an example of that, I remember one time, and this is how we can see how much spirit, soul, and body can be divided. That's years and years and years, 37 years ago. I was a single person dating someone at a Bible college. Now, you know it's God's will if you start dating someone at a Bible college, right? And it was a whirlwind romance, all the feelings, all the, you know, who, you know, and all the things lined up, and it was just, you know, God. And so within a matter of weeks, we were engaged. And he was just the one, and he was a dynamic preacher, so of course I was going to be that little Barbie doll on his arm, and all of the above. But one night I was driving home from work, and there was just a little impression in my spirit, just a little tug that maybe it wasn't the will of God, just a faint thought. And I almost stopped the car. It was like, no, no, no. No, I'm real excited about this one. No. I'm sure it's you, God. But that sense didn't leave me. And so I prayed. And I said, God, if this isn't you, and I remember doing it with tears, because the thought had never occurred to me. We'd just been racing. And I found out there's, you know, this bridal fever that goes on at the end of the school year. I don't know. But anyway, just this thought. And so I said, okay, God, if this isn't you, I just pray you'll blow it out of the box. Within 3 days, we were totally broken up. And emotionally, I was distraught. It was very painful because I was convinced. I'd all but sent the invitations out. I mean, you know, I just knew this was the one. And I'd shouted it from the mountaintops. But I had that sense that I needed to pray and give God permission to do what he needed to do. It wasn't God. There's a whole list of things I could go into that I'm not going to and it would probably bore you. But a little bit over a year later, I was married to Pastor Mike. And 6 months later, we were full-time in ministry and have been ever since. So I almost missed the will of God by a very strong emotional thing. And that's why the spirit and the soul, only the word of God can divide between that. And the Holy Spirit sometimes has to tug at us, has to reveal to us, and we have to allow him to do what he needs to do in our lives. So I don't know if that ministers to anyone, but I want to encourage you to give him permission in your life, and he will do what he wants to do and get you where you need to go. Amen? So the Holy Spirit was sent to glorify Jesus. And I believe sometimes that this is why we don't talk too much about the Holy Spirit, don't know too much about the Holy Spirit, because you know he's on the scene when you hear the name of Jesus. When you know that Jesus is being exalted, Jesus is being glorified, people are coming to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of their lives, the Holy Spirit is on the scene, because that's his primary purpose, is to reveal the need for Jesus to the human heart and to give them the ability to make him the Lord and Savior of their lives. The Bible says that no one comes to the Father except by me, except that the Holy Spirit draws him to the Father. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. John 16:14 says, he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, when Jesus was talking to him about the Holy Spirit. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. I remember I was raised in church. Many of you might have been raised in a denominational church. And I always heard the term Christ. We learned about Christ. But then there was the day at a summer camp when the Holy Spirit fell on that Bible camp. And the rest of the summer, we all just kind of floated. And there was the sense that we were knowing Jesus and walking with Jesus. And then later when I entered into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, his name just became so real to me, so alive to me. The Holy Spirit has been sent to glorify Jesus and make him real. Amen? In John 15:26, Jesus said, but when the helper, the comforter, the strengthener, the intercessor, the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So when you hear Christians talking about Jesus, like they really know him, you know the Holy Spirit is on the scene. Amen? In John 16:4, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus was speaking. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus said it was necessary that he go away, because if he didn't go, the Holy Spirit couldn't come. And we just celebrated Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. And so Jesus said, you know, I've been with you, and it's been good. All your needs have been met, but a day is coming that's better, where it won't take me being physically with you, in proximity of you. I mean, when Jesus was there on the scene, everything went well. When he wasn't on the scene, sometimes it didn't go so well for the disciples. But he said, a better day is coming. I've been with you, but he's going to be in you. And he is the divine person, the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So he said he would send him. And he came. So we need to think of him just as we do the Lord Jesus. He is Jesus. He is God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're three, but they're one. And so when you're walking and talking with Jesus, know you're talking to the Holy Spirit. Know you're talking to Father God. That Jesus is even giving you that ability to communicate and know God like we do. All the distinctive characteristics of personality are ascribed to the Holy Spirit. What separates a person from a thing is personality traits. A person has thoughts, makes decisions, has feelings. Now, animals have instinct and a certain amount of intelligence, but they cannot have the thoughts and make the decisions. They don't have an eternal soul, although I prayed with some kids and left that impression. But they're not a human being. We're not a higher form of an animal. We are created in God's image. But the Holy Spirit has a mind. Romans 8:27 says, now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God the Father, God the Son, as we saw him walk the earth and displayed emotions, the Holy Spirit has emotions also. That you've seen joy, sadness, anger, pleasure, all of that is expressed by each member of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit has a will, 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills. He has a will, and he has an intentional will, and he will work that in your life. He has emotions. Love is expressed as an emotion. Romans 15:30, it says, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." The love of the Spirit. God is love. The Holy Spirit is love. So when he's on the inside of you and you're acting less than lovely, he will alert you of that fact. And then grief is an emotion. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. And the strongest way, the worst thing you can do that will grieve the Holy Spirit is how we treat each other. And that's what we see going on right now in our society. And that's where we need to, it's a call to pray. But Ephesians 4:30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for that day of redemption." But if you read that in context, let me back up a verse or two. Verse 28 says, "Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need." Verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Then verse 30 we just read, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Then verse 31, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." The thing that will grieve the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and cause him to be the most upset over your bad behavior is how we treat each other. And you know, God only sees two kinds of people. He made all humanity. He sees those that have made Jesus the Lord and Savior, made Jesus their Lord and Savior, and have sonship rights, are in relationship with him. He can respond in their lives like a loving heavenly father. And those that he's created that he wants to be his children. So when we act ugly and we talk about each other and we hurt each other and we are cruel and not kind and tenderhearted and compassionate toward each other, that grieves the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we just act a mess and then we come into our little prayer closet. And we're just going to have a good time with the Holy Spirit and tell me something wonderful from the Word. And he just, as I said before, he just stays very quiet because he wants you to come to his throne and take responsibility for your bad behavior and repent so he can quit grieving over the way you're acting and actually lift you up and bless you. Are you with me? When Jesus turned over the tables of the money changers in the temple, what he was upset about is in the house of prayer, where everyone was supposed to be able to come to God with their sacrifices, they were abusing people and selling the perfect animals for more than market value, more than what was fair. They would bring an animal to sacrifice and they'd go, "Oh, no, that was not quite perfect enough. You have to buy the temple lamb over here that's twice as much." And they were abusing tender-hearted people. So we have to take responsibility for our actions. Sometimes we have this attitude, "I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the guys that do." And we have the list of the top bad sins: smoking, drinking, carousing, whatever. And then don't do that stuff. I'm not saying that. But it's the sins of the heart. When we look upon each other and we have prejudice and we have judgment and we have anger and we have hate, and call it what it is, it's hate, The Holy Spirit wants to deal with that before he's going to bring us into a place of us enjoying the joy that's in his presence and his fellowship. Are you with me? So don't grieve him. Don't make him angry. We don't want him like Jesus with a cat of nine tails whooping our bottoms. Anyway, that was all free. The Holy Spirit has intelligence. He is God. He knows all things. As we referred to it already, John 14:26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He knows everything. He created the world. So let him teach you some things, and maybe you'll have some wisdom. Amen? He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. And I love that aspect about him. As you study the word and meditate on it and get it into your heart, then you're out in the workplace or out, if you are able to go out, and you're talking with someone or you need wisdom, and the Holy Spirit will bring the word of God to your remembrance. He'll just float it up in you, bring it to your mind, and you'll have that wisdom that you need in that moment. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit performs acts that only a divine person can perform. Have I established the fact with you yet that he is God? The Holy Spirit is God. And only he can do, only someone that is divine, that is God, can do what he does. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God has revealed them unto us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You can be in the Word of God pondering a particular verse that seems beyond understanding. And the Holy Spirit will teach you what it says. And it says he teaches us by comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So it's kind of like the match game. He'll take you to this verse, and then that verse, and that verse, and help break down the meanings of the words so that it comes alive to you, and you can know it and live it. Amen? The Holy Spirit speaking in first person, Revelation 2:7, it says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So the Spirit speaking here, to him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So see, we see two of the Trinity here. The Holy Spirit is talking, but he's referring to the paradise of God that belongs to God, God the Father. He is a divine person. The Holy Spirit cries out in our hearts that we are believers. And I love that. So many times someone will say, well, how do you know that you're saved? I don't know. I just know that I know that I know that I know. Well, in Galatians 4:6, it says, he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, that endearment of Daddy. The Holy Spirit does that. And then Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So on the inside, there's that witness. You hear the Holy Spirit. There's that witness that you're his child. The Holy Spirit prays, Romans 8:26. But the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning. We saw Jesus do that at the tomb of Lazarus. Actually, it says he did it twice in John 11:33-38. That, you know, as the people mourned over the death of Lazarus, Jesus even knew he was going to raise him from the dead. And yet it says he groaned. He groaned with a deep groan of compassion over the fact that they were so hurt and distraught over Lazarus dying. And then he says he groaned and he commanded him to come forth. He raised him from the dead, death from the dead, out of that depth of compassion. So the Holy Spirit is God. He's a third person of the Trinity. He has a personality. He's a divine person. We've established that fact. But do we regard him as we do God the Father or Jesus the Son? That's where we have to step back and realize that he's God inside us. There was the age of the Father through the Old Testament. He spoke directly with man. And then Jesus came and walked the earth. Philip said to Jesus, Jesus, show us the Father. And he said, have I been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know the Father? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus came to reveal to us the Father, and then he said, I'm going away. And it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go, he won't come. And now this is the age of the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside of us. He's beside us. He's all around us. I love that song that we sing. The Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, to help us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to meet our every need. Amen. So we need to commune with the Holy Spirit. Trust Him as our most personal, intimate, ever-present friend. And then surrender every area of our life to His control. This is the secret to true Christian living. It's a walk with Him. Just like Jesus spoke to my heart one day and said, I'm your personal Lord and Savior. Don't give me a set of rules. I know you. I know what you need. I know your every thought. I know your most intimate dream. I know how many hairs you have on your head. How many you lost in the shower this morning. I know you. I'm your personal Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit wants to be personal in our lives, ladies. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk to you about things that you're concerned about. Nothing's too little for Him. Nothing's too big for Him. He knows you. He knows the uniqueness of you and why He made you, you. And He created you in God's image. You're not anybody else, but you are uniquely, wonderfully you. And the Holy Spirit knows you and wants to reveal to you even things about you that you need to know. Amen? So He'll bring us into liberty. He'll fill us with joy. He'll be the power that we need. He'll help us be free from sin. He'll give us that freedom even to love. When you get set free from a lot of self-centeredness and you get out of yourself, there's an ability, an amazing God-like ability to love freely without any sense of what are they going to think about me? He will absolutely set you free to be just like Jesus. God, the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Are you going to commune with the Holy Spirit? Are you going to get to know Him? I believe that. Those of you that are watching online, make Him your friend. Get to know Him. Let Him be your most intimate friend, knowing that He knows you, He created you, and yet He so amazingly loves you and wants to be your all in all.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.